Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The fallout continues over last week's report, which outlined fraud and corruption in the Massachusetts Probation Department. And many people are asking, where was the oversight? The report described a system where the now former probation commissioner had almost sole hiring authority and arranged jobs as favors to state lawmakers. Boston attorney Michael Keating chaired the Court Management Advisory Board, which helps oversee the state courts. He says the system, the people involved, and the legislature all contributed to the problems.
These hires and whatever were always done sort of outside of public view. There was no subpoena power or any other way to determine where the patronage and whatever played a role here. Everybody sort of knew it happened, but nobody could really put their finger on how it actually happened and who was always involved in this. But it really got to a point where in the course over the last few years where there was so much control vested in the commissioner of probation, and probably there was some hubris on his part in terms of who he could hire and fire, that it finally reached the point where our group got involved and the Spotlight team got involved, and then finally the Supreme Judicial Court got involved.
Mm-hmm. So initially, when the Boston Globe reported that there were problems in the probation department, and they asked the probation commissioner, John O'Brien, he said one state law gives him hiring and firing power, and another state law requires the Chief Justice for Management to approve and consent to all of his appointments. Is that not accurate?
It's accurate literally, but it is not the way it operated in practice. The authority that is still vested in the Chief Justice for Administration and Management is a very perfunctory and administrative authority when it comes to the probation officers. In other words, there are requirements that jobs get posted. That requirement has to be met. But there was virtually no opportunity for the Chief Justice for Administration and Management to be part of the decision as to whether or not a certain individual would be hired. That was exclusively within the Commissioner of Probation.
This transfer of power to Commissioner O'Brien that you mentioned, that was made in 2001, which gave him a lot more power in the department, regardless of how we read the state laws or what technicalities we might be talking about. Why wasn't it highlighted before now?
Well, it has been, actually. The Court Management Advisory Board, the board that I chaired, has brought this to the attention of the media, of the judicial system.
It wasn't until within the past year or so, that the problems were highlighted. Because I seem to remember reading in 2007 a report that you wrote, and you said, all too often, task forces and commissions deliver reports only to watch them collect dust.
Right. Yeah,
but our experience over the past 4 years with the Massachusetts trial court has been a unique and gratifying exception.
Well, I think that, our report that we came out with in December of last year, it was published actually in March of this past year, 2010, was the first really official report that pointed out this situation that had been created whereby the legislature had vested in the commissioner the exclusive power to hire and fire probation officers. They coupled that each year with a provision in the budget that said that the Chief Justice of Administration and Management would not be permitted to transfer funds that were appropriated to probation to other judicial functions, which was unique to probation.
Now, let's go back to Chief Judge for Administration and Management, Robert Mulligan, again. The union representing probation workers has called on Robert Mulligan to step down because this has happened. What do you say to that?
Well, I would certainly disagree with that. I think Chief Justice Mulligan has done a very good job across the board. He was just reappointed last year for another five-year term. I think that the issue with probation was a very difficult issue for Chief Justice Mulligan. I think he and Jack O'Brien used to cross swords, if you will, on some of these particular issues. But the way the legislature continued to treat the Department of Probation and the exclusive authority that they had vested in the commissioner for these hiring and firing decisions and the increased appropriations they continued to give them really didn't give Chief Justice Mulligan a lot of leverage to use with the commissioner.
A lot of people are looking back over all of these years and saying, how did this happen? Was it really one person, Commissioner O'Brien, who was able to take all of this power and to really sort of capitalize on what appears to have been a very fraudulent system? Is that it? How would you describe it?
I really have two answers to that question. And let me give you the narrow answer and then the broader answer. On the narrow answer, I think it's a problem not just of the way the system was structured under that statute in 2001 and the appropriation, but it's a problem of not only the structure but of the people involved. My broader answer is a thing that's unique to the culture of Massachusetts, and it's probably underlies this whole problem, in my view, and that is the legislature's belief that they can inject themselves into the operations of the judiciary, not only in the case of putting people in the judiciary to work within the judicial system, but in the way they handle appropriations and other matters. This is a situation which, frankly, is quite unique in this state. Other states and the federal government respect the independence of the three branches of government.
So I take it then that Governor Deval Patrick's plan to put probation under control of the executive branch is something that you would strongly disagree with.
I would disagree with it. I mean, I think there are arguments that can be made for the position the governor is advancing. I think there are also arguments that can be made to keep it within the judiciary. What's been lacking here, whether it was within the judiciary or within the executive branch, is any supervision of the probation department.
And do you think that this report and the documentation of what's happened thus far will ensure that the report does not collect dust and that there is significant action taken?
Well, I think that I certainly hope it doesn't collect dust, and I think the thoroughness of Paul Ware's report and the depth with which he went to support the conclusions he reached and the seriousness with which the Supreme Judicial Court has taken this report and would indicate to me that it is not simply going to gather dust. I think the first place that there has to be people stepping up to the plate and doing the right thing is within the legislature.
Michael Keating, former chair of the Court Management Advisory Board and an attorney with Foley Hoag, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Glad to do it.